Thank you, Brother Hershey. We are grateful and thankful for you. You're leading us in worship this morning. Brother Chris and Grace are actually out of the country. So pray for them. They will be back later this week and back with us next Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 18 and verse 12. John chapter 18 and verse 12. If you are a guest with us today, please feel free to use those pew Bibles on the back of the row in front of you. In just a moment, I'll be reading John chapter 18, verses 12 through 27 from the New King James Version of the Bible. We are studying God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter. Today we have come to John chapter 18. If you will remember, last Sunday morning we left Jesus and his disciples, and Judas, and a crowd of 600 plus Roman soldiers and Jewish religious leaders in the Garden of Gethsemane. Today, we are most likely in the earliest hours of Friday morning, sometime between midnight, 12 a.m. and 3 a.m. We are going to see this morning two different scenes that are taking place simultaneously. And so if we were thinking about these scenes in 2023, watching on some type of screen, we might picture a split screen. Scene one with Jesus, Annas, the Apostle John, and then scene two, again happening at the exact same time, but just a few feet away, Peter. This morning, I want to share a message with you entitled, Second Chances. Second Chances. If you have found John chapter 18 and verse 12 and you are able, I want to invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's Word. Follow along in your copy of the Scriptures or on the screens behind me. Beginning again in verse 12. Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. And then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You're not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You're not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you that you are our good, good Father. And thank you for bringing your people to your house today to hear from you. And so, Lord, over these next few moments, would you please help us to put away all distractions, all concerns, all worries, all anxieties. And Lord, give us an undivided heart to see in your word and to hear from you exactly what you want to say to us today. We love you, and we're grateful for your love for us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Notice, first of all, beginning there in verse 12, that Jesus was detained. Jesus was detained. So remember, we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas has showed up betraying the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Remember, it wasn't a secret that Jesus would often be in the Garden of Gethsemane, easily for Judas to find on this Thursday night and Friday morning. And last Sunday, we saw that Judas leading approximately 600 or so Roman soldiers and Jewish religious leaders in the dead of night expecting a fight, and they found Jesus. None of Jesus's disciples were arrested, but Jesus was arrested, incarcerated, detained. Says there in verse 12, the captain and officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And from everything that we know, more than likely, Jesus' hands were bound behind him. Verse 13 says, they led him away to Annas first. Now, who was Annas? Well, that verse tells us a little bit about him. He was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. So again, Caiaphas was the high priest, but why would they lead Jesus away to Annas? Well, if you might think of it in this way, Annas would have been the high priest emeritus. He was still very influential at the time. As a matter of fact, he would have four sons follow him in the role of high priest. Here, his son-in-law serving in the role of high priest. Annas was still significantly influential, had a lot of pull. Again, serving in that capacity, if you will, of high priest emeritus. And so he was the one who was going to question Jesus first after Jesus had been detained. The high priest at the time, the acting high priest, the sitting high priest, if you will, was Caiaphas. Again, Annas' son-in-law, married to Annas' daughter. And look what verse 14 says. John reminds us it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. What an interesting statement. Would you turn back in your Bibles there to John chapter 11? John chapter 11 and find verse 49. This was when Caiaphas made that statement. John chapter 11, verse 49, and one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. And not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, don't simply skip over Caiaphas's prophecy. For it absolutely, positively came true when Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and for my sin. For it is our sin that separates us from God. And if left up unto ourselves without putting our faith and trust in Christ, the perfect Lamb of God who was sacrificed on our behalf, if not trusting in Him, then we will have to answer for our sins personally. And we will be judged to hell. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ died physically so that you and I would not have to die spiritually. That if you put your faith and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, that Jesus, in His sinless perfection, will answer for your deeds, will answer for my deeds, and our deeds will have been paid for in full with Jesus' death on the cross. And so if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, please hear the gospel in Caiaphas's prophecy. Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. And today, if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, He invites you today to admit that you're a sinner. To believe the truth that I just shared with you, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, and He invites you to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Jesus, on the earliest hours of Friday morning, was detained. Notice, secondly, skipping down to verse 19, that Jesus was also demeaned. He was demeaned. Verse 19 says, "The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine." Now again, this is still Annas. This is still the high priest emeritus. And Annas is going to question Jesus. And perhaps you might relate it to watching in a movie, seeing on a television show, when detectives interrogate or ask suspects questions in the police hall, in the police department, in the station house. Jesus is going to be asked, beginning there in verse 19, about his disciples and his doctrine. Notice what he says. "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews meet, and in secret I have said nothing." Jesus said, "I'm not hiding anything. I have nothing to hide. Everything that I've done, I have done in public. Everything I've done has been before humanity. Verse 21, why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And so Annas is asking these questions. Jesus is responding. And then look what his response got him in verse 22. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, slapped him across the face, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus was demeaned. He was physically, in addition to verbally, demeaned. Jesus asks in verse 23, if I've spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Why in the world are you hitting me? Have I said something that was wrong? Have I said something that wasn't true? And then, verse 24, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. On this Friday, by the way, remember, we now look back and what do we call this Friday? Good Friday. On this Good Friday, Jesus would experience two trials. He would experience a religious trial conducted by Caiaphas, and we will see that. And then he will experience a Roman trial conducted by Pilate, and we will see that. But here, this morning, this initial arrest, Jesus was detained, Jesus was demeaned, and now let's go to the other scene. The other scene happening simultaneously, at the same time, just a few feet away, not only was Jesus detained, not only was Jesus demeaned, but thirdly, Jesus was denied. Back up in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And we know this is John's way of speaking of himself, most likely. We're assuming that this is John and Peter together. Now, that disciple was known to the high priest, so John had some type of relationship with Annas and with Caiaphas, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter, verse 16 tells us, stood at the door outside. And then the other disciple, John, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door. And it was because of John's relationship that he was able to get Peter a little bit closer to what was going on, but not too close. Verse 17, then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, now this is the first time, you're not also one of this man's disciples, are you? He said, I am not. Peter's first denial. John adds a little bit more commentary here. We know that Jerusalem was some 2,500 feet above sea level. It was cold in the wee hours of the morning this time of year. And consequently, the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And then skip down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you're not also one of his disciples, are you? And now for the second time, the end of verse 25, he denied it and said, I'm not one of his disciples. And then for a third time, verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off. Do you remember that from last week? Malchus. Malchus was the man that Peter cut off his ear in an attempt to defend Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, this is one of Malchus's relatives. And he asks Peter, "Did I not see you in the garden with him? And now for the third time," verse 27, "Peter then denied again. And immediately a rooster crowed." Well, if you're not familiar with this story, the end of verse 27 is so odd. John just adds this random comment that a rooster crowed. By the way, that was probably, again, around the 3 a.m. hour. The end of the first watch. But that's not some random comment. If you're familiar with the story, you know that that is the fulfillment of prophecy. Turn back just a few pages to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, also reporting this scene, but from Dr. Luke's perspective. Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And so Peter went out and wept bitterly." Two scenes happening simultaneously, but close enough after the third denial and after the rooster crowed for Peter and Jesus to make eye contact. And can you imagine Peter's heartbreak and grief when his eyes met with his Savior's and he remembered that Jesus prophesied, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Now remember, this was the same Peter who just a few moments earlier, in the Garden of Gethsemane, cut off Malchus's right ear, defending the Lord Jesus. And then after Jesus was arrested, on three occasions, Peter says, "I am not. I don't know him. I don't belong to him." And brothers and sisters, lest we be too hard this morning on Peter, every time that you and I in our daily lives say yes to the devil and no to Christ, we also are denying Jesus. Husbands, fathers, when you speak to your wives in that harsh tone, when you lead your children to do that away from the Lord and of the world, you are denying Christ. Wives, when you look at other families and are jealous of that husband and those children and that house and those belongings, you are denying Christ. Children, when you are refusing to be obedient to mom and dad and their guidance and direction and parenting of you, you're denying Christ. And when we live in the world today and we choose not to point others to Jesus, we are also denying the Lord Jesus. In the earliest hours of Friday morning, was detained and demeaned and denied. As I said last Sunday morning, I believe today's story reminds us of some secondary lessons and then one main point. Let me share with you these secondary lessons, if I may. Here on the pages of Scripture, in this first inquiry of Jesus, we come face to face with injustice. And so, brothers and sisters, if this injustice is what Jesus experienced in the first century, then you and I ought not be surprised in 2023, living in an anti-Christ culture, an anti-Christian culture, that we also experience injustice. If we're followers of His, it makes perfect sense for us too to experience injustice from the world. What injustices am I talking about here? Well, number one, it was illegal for them to conduct this informal trial at night. They were all to be done in the daylight. Secondly, all of the informal trials and the former trials were to be conducted in the temple, in the hall of judgment, not the high priest's residence. Number three, they were not to ask self-incriminating questions, and yet that's exactly what Annas does there in verses 19 through 21. Number four, no witnesses were there to testify to what Jesus had done or not done. And then number five, they physically hit someone who had been arrested. All five of those acts were illegal under their own system of law. And so right here on the pages of Scripture, Jesus is the victim of injustice. But don't be surprised today. Don't be surprised today as a follower of Christ if you also are a victim of injustice. It would stand to reason. Now, please understand what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody at Christmas saying to you, Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. That's not an injustice. I'm not talking about somebody on social media blocking you or canceling you. That's not an injustice. I'm talking about losing your job because you are a follower of Christ. I'm talking about you losing money and means of income because you're a follower of Christ. I'm talking about someone physically coming after you because you are a follower of Christ. If it happened to Jesus, then brothers and sisters, we would be wise to expect or at least not be surprised when it happens to us. Secondly, Jesus is a tremendous, perfect example of living a life of authenticity. Jesus didn't say one thing and do another. What does he say there to Annas in verses 20 and 21? He says, hey, I've done everything that I've done for the whole world to see. I've done it in the public. If you want to ask somebody what I did, then call them. Ask them. I have nothing to hide. And yet, we as followers of Christ are tempted every single week to be someone different tomorrow than we are today. We're here today in the church house with our families, singing unto the Lord, listening to God's word, fellowshipping with the people of God. But tomorrow, will we be friends with the world? Brothers and sisters, the church has lost much of her influence in today's world because our walk does not match our talk. But let us be the same witness for Christ, the same ambassador for Christ, the same Christian tomorrow that we are today for all the world to see. Let's live lives of authenticity. But here's the main point. Here's the big idea. Here's the one truth that I hope that you will take home today. We see here with Peter denying the Lord on three separate occasions, yet so close together, in need of a second chance. And you're going to get to see that. On the pages of Scripture in the weeks to come, the Lord Jesus is going to do just that. He's going to give Peter a second chance. And Peter's going to take that second chance, and he's going to be one of the most influential leaders in the first century church. Peter is going to boldly and unashamedly, even though right here in John 18, he denies Jesus three times, he's going to boldly and unashamedly preach to thousands and see them saved because he got a second chance. What about you? You need a second chance today? Need a second chance as a father, dads? Need a second chance as a husband? You need a second chance as a wife, a mother, a child? Brothers and sisters, has somebody hurt you this morning? And like the Lord Jesus, do you need to extend a second chance to a brother or sister in Christ and say to them, I forgive you. I forgive you. Because that's exactly what the Lord Jesus says to us. And somewhere along the way, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus said to Peter. I'll give you a second chance. Today, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, I would invite you to do so today. In just a few moments, Brother Hershey's going to come and he's going to lead us in a very familiar song. I'll be here at the front. If you would respond publicly today to the gospel invitation that has been shared to you to admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sin, and call on the name of the Lord to save you, I would invite you to step out of one of these aisles. Make your way here to the front. I'd love to celebrate with you, pray with you, counsel with you, help in discipling. Maybe for you, the invitation this morning is to turn from a particular sin or turn from a particular relationship, taking advantage of that second chance. Our altar this morning will be here for you to come and to pray. I'd be glad to pray with you if you would take advantage of that second chance today, recommitting, rededicating your life to Christ. If you're a guest with us today, maybe God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church. If you know Christ as Savior and you follow through with believer's baptism, we'd love to welcome you today. If you just want to come and pray, you feel the freedom to do that. But if you need a second chance this morning, just know there's one waiting. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, thank you and praise you and bless you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place and for our sin. Thank you that you offer us a second chance this morning, and you gave Peter a second chance almost 2,000 years ago. Lord, we trust and pray that your Spirit will be at work in our midst, in our lives, for your glory and for your honor. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? And as Brother Hershey comes to lead us, and we're singing together, I would invite you to respond.